So what if this wasn't all such a big deal? What if talking about how we'd like to die was ordinary? Well, down the road from us is a small city, La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's famous for its Mississippi riverfront, its great beer, and one other thing.
But I also just wouldn't want to be kept alive when I can't go.
La Crosse is a town where people have gotten comfortable talking about death. Raymond Tungekar tells us why.
Well, my feeling is that, you know, if God's going to take me, it's time to go. And if I'm stuck on some machine, that's not God.
I have a few more questions for you. These questions will help you talk about your goals and values.
Here in this room, groups of healthcare professionals are acting out sensitive conversations between family members about what kind of treatment they want to receive near the end of their lives. It's surprising how informal it is.
So it sounds like, you know, Margaret shared some of her preferences. Do you think you'll be able to follow Margaret's preferences, even if you may not agree with them?
I hope so.
And I hear a little hesitation. Maybe you can kind of clarify what makes you a little hesitant.
This exercise is part of an advanced care planning program run by a local hospital here called Gunderson Health. This week, it's drawn doctors and nurses from all over the country, some even as far away as Japan and Hong Kong. And they're here to learn how La Crosse has been able to get its residents to plan out their end-of-life wishes.
I hear again and again, people won't talk about this. I think that's completely wrong. I think people don't know how to talk about this. And I think the trouble is, in any of our families, when we talk about important issues, we fear conflict, we fear disagreement.
Bud Hammes is a medical ethicist who started the program more than 20 years ago. Back then, most people in La Crosse hadn't filled out an advance directive. That's a legal document detailing their end-of-life wishes. Bud says every day he'd see people at the hospital struggling with painful life and death decisions.
In these cases, we saw families suffer from uncertainty. For some people, this is a lifelong burden they have to bear. I made a decision. My dad died. I don't know if I made the right decision. That's a horrible burden for any human to bear. The other suffering that I saw was conflict, where one family member accused the other family member of terrible things, murder.
Bud wanted to help, so he asked around, made a few phone calls, and found that what people really needed, more than anything, was help talking with their families. And so he developed a program to walk people through these difficult conversations. A facilitator brings together family members and asks a series of open-ended questions, but really, they're just there to listen about a patient's fears, beliefs, and eventually, their end-of-life wishes.
I've tried to instill this in my children, that it's very important because you leave your children in a real mess if you don't have your choices made.
That's Lou Butterfield. For nearly 40 years, she worked at Gunderson, coordinating medical records, so you can say she was an easy convert to advanced care planning. Those conversations just seemed natural to her and her husband. Her kids, not so much.
And this is what every family will go through with. One or two of their children are going to say, I don't want to talk about it. They're not ready to listen to death and dying. Mom and dad are going to live forever. We don't live forever.
Those conversations took on greater urgency 3 years ago.
I went to the emergency because I was very sick. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was very ill. And I spent about 8 hours in the emergency ward. And finally the doctor came in and said, they found a spot on my lung. And he was positive it was cancer. I've been blessed to have 3 years. So every day that I have, I'm going to live it to the fullest.
Earlier this year, Lou started talking with her daughters about her last wishes. It didn't go so well at first. Nobody except her really wanted to talk about it. But eventually, her daughters came around. The family met with a facilitator, and Lou spelled out what she wanted.
When I'm at the end of my life and there's nothing medically they can do for me, I just want them to keep me comfortable until I pass. That's all. I'm prepared. It's given me peace of mind because I know that I have made my wishes. I know that when my time comes, my children know what the wishes are. They're going to honor those wishes. And hopefully they accept them gracefully.
That peace of mind is pretty common in La Crosse. By now, thanks in part to Bud Hammes and Gunderson Health, most people in the town have talked with their families. In fact, more than 90% of the people who die here have some form of advance directive. That's nearly 3 times higher than the national average.
on almost a weekly basis here in La Crosse, someone thanks me. And they'll say, well, my mom died recently, and my family had this wonderful conversation. And because of that conversation with my mom, we knew what my mom wanted. So we feel, you know, that we took good care of her, and we all stayed on the same page. We didn't have any fighting or conflict during that very difficult time for our family. That, to me, is the greatest reward for all this work, is the impact this has on individuals. That's not what I saw back in the mid-'80s. What I saw in the mid-'80s was distress and conflict within families.
Raymond Tungekar brought us that story.